of analyzing being choker, searching, being thorough in any piece of Torah that he presented, be it Ashkafa, be it Gemara, be it Halacha. A personality of brilliance in Torah. And being a child who was raised in a Rabbanu Shalom by a Musa Chawayu, the personality of Rav Lichtenstein as a brilliant scholar in Torah was known. It wasn't a chiddush to me. Maybe the amount of knowledge and quantity, maybe the penetrating depth in quality, definitely generating awe. But as a child, as a teenager, the world split into black and white. And my Ashkafa as a child was that the Hanhaga world, the leadership world of Torah, splits into two types of personality. There's the Chacham, the intellect, and that manifests itself by tremendous knowledge of Torah, analytical insight, and there's the tzaddik which is sensitive about Ben Adam L'Chavero, the tzaddik which is focused on Ben Adam L'Makom, the tzaddik which has a dimension which is above and beyond, or maybe beside the Chacham. But two separate Hanagos. And in my mind, as a child who's making his first steps in the Torah world, the Chacham is not a Tzaddik, and the Tzaddik is not a Chacham. The world's split into two. And my mission as an individual was to say that this gadol was a tzaddik and this gadol was a chacham. And it was very easy for me and very simple. And personally, as a child, as an individual, was much more attracted and connected to the chacham. And therefore, at the age of 15, I'm going weekly to the shiurim. I have a Rebbe also in this yeshiva that I'm learning a few blocks away. Mekor Chaim is also a tremendous chacham. Very different, but another type of chacham. 2 years go by, I'm 17 years old, and I go into the Gush. As an Israeli, I come to the Gush in Elul. And Elul is very normal. It works into my analysis. We come on the first day, we were learning Kiddushin. Shir Kali is supposed to start at 11, starts at 11:10. Rav Lichtenstein gets up to give Shir Kali. Lunch is at 1 o'clock. At 1:45, Rav Lichtenstein says he can't finish up. He wants to continue after Mincha, which is at 3, but he's going to sum up what he said till now. Took him another 20 minutes to sum up. It's 2:05. That's 1 hour and 5 minutes after lunch starts. My first Shir Kali yeshiva. 2:05, we run to eat lunch. We get back at 3 o'clock. We daven Mincha. Rav Lichtenstein gets back up at 3:15, 3:18, 3:20, and goes on for another 3.5 hours. My first shiur klal in yeshiva was obvious. We know when shiur starts. We never know when shiur ends. And the brilliance of Torah, the knowledge of Torah, the insight of Torah, it all fits into my analysis. Here is the Chacham, the girl who is a chacham, and I'm going to sit down here in yeshiva and draw and connect to the chachmas haTorah in my first steps or my next steps in my Torah development. It's Rosh Hashanah, and my worlds start colliding. My ashkafa starts collapsing. And I want to give you an example which is totally chitzonius, but it's something that we could connect to and maybe understand what I'm about to talk about. The Baal Tokeh is Rav Ezra Bick. Rav Ezra Bick is a Rebbe of Shana Gimel, a big Talmud Chacham in his own right, a philosopher, very small, skinny, Baal Tokeh, very high-pitched voice, but low volume, sweet, says the Brachos of Tkiah. The Beis Medrash is packed, 400 or 500 Talmidim, Balabatim, obviously absolute silence. It's about to be Tkiah Shofar. The Baal HaMakri is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Big, tall, powerful. Again, the Beis Medrash is complete silence. The Brachos are very sweet. And you hear the Brachos. And then suddenly, in that silence, the voice of the Makri of Rav Lichtenstein comes out. And I'm going to express something, and I might be exaggerating a lot of things. This is not an exaggeration. Suddenly the voice comes out, Kia! Like a lion was released from it then. Kia! You could have picked me up off the floor. The windows in the Beis Medrash were shaking. And my worlds philosophically start colliding. Big deal, it's another mitzvah's essay. Where is the emotion from? Calm down. What's the halachic source of that shout? And then suddenly right afterwards, a Tkiah Shofar that goes, boo. Can't even hear the voice because the windows are still shaking. The Tkiah ends, Shvayim Tkiah! Absolute heart failure. We go on towards Yom Kippur. So I was like, okay, strong voice, shouting at Kippur, that may be. We get to Yom Kippur. We finish davening Leil Yom HaKippurim. Rav Aaron starts giving Avodas Yom HaKippurim in Shir. Beis Medrash, packed. 300 or 400 Talmidim. An hour goes by at 10 o'clock at night, 200 Talmidim. 11 o'clock at night, 100. 12 o'clock, 50. 12:30, 1 o'clock. It gets to a point where it's only a handful, maybe even less. It's probably about 2 a.m. on Leil Yom HaKippur. Maybe we were 2, maybe we were 3. I don't remember exactly. But Rav Aaron said, he's tired, he's got to rest. He stopped cheer. I was a little bit perturbed at what he said in the last piece of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Did not want to bother him because he needs to rest. Was schmoozing with the guy on the way down to the dormitories and then decided to go in through the other entrance to check again because it really bothered me. Went to the back of the Beis Medrash, pulled out the Rambam, and then suddenly I hear a voice that's learning. I turn around and I see Rav Lichtenstein in his spot. So at some point I walked over and I asked to discuss this Rambam and he said his pshat on it. I said, Rebbe, why did you stop cheer? So he told me, I stopped cheer because I saw there was just a handful or maybe less. And I was afraid that you guys were too embarrassed to leave because then the cheer would end. So I realized that I had to stop cheer. But obviously, Leil Yom HaKippurim, I have to sit down and learn all night Avodas Yom HaKippur. Then we get to Avodas Yom HaKippurim in Tefillah. And this is where it happens. From my perspective, a complete meltdown. Rav Lichtenstein is standing not in his makom, he stood in a different place in Yom Kippur. Bawling, crying, broken down, bent down. The big, powerful voice from Yom HaKippurim is in a complete meltdown. And hours upon hours upon hours of tefillah. And again, the chacham, the tzaddik, it's not making sense. The worlds are colliding. It's bothering me. tremendously. And it continues in Motzei Yom Kippur with the dancing. The dancing of both Rosh Yeshivas and whatever was the center. And it continues on Erev Sukkos with buying the Arba Minim and the sensitivity to the Kone, to the Mocher, to the businessman. And then suddenly I go through a certain level of maturity myself. And maybe this is the punchline that I want to point out. And for the first time in my life, exposed to a person who's a brilliant Talmud Chacham, analytical in any aspect that he was involved in, but a tremendous emotion. And that emotion was also driven and taken towards his Avodas Hashem. In the sensitivities of Ben Adam L'Chavero, and in a couple of minutes I'll give more, a few more stories before we run off to the Levaya. In the sensitivities of Ben Adam L'Mako, in the passion, not just in the intellect. In both these powers driving and creating a force which was kulo meshubad l'shem shamayim in every aspect of life. And I realized in the process of that maturity that these two aspects not only do not collide, that the Chacham and the Tzaddik are not only not two separate individuals, but my shlichus, our shlichus, is in all these areas. In the intellect, in the discipline of giving over our kochos towards our Talmud Torah, in the Bedarim L'Chavero sensitivity, from the halachic perspective, from the moral perspective, in the Avodas Hashem, maybe even in the Hasidic sense of the word. And that's the Hanaga, and that's the Derech. Just to emphasize very quickly, two of these points. Rav Lichtenstein was Mesada Kiddushin at our wedding, 25 years ago. The wedding was in Beit Vegan, the Chuppah was in the Merpeset of Malon Shalom. Beautiful view of Yerushalayim. Lichtenstein gets up to be Mesada Kiddushin. And at some point, we get to Mesiras HaKsuva. Rav Amital reads the Ksuva. And we get to Mesiras HaKsuva. And Rav Lichtenstein was used to do Mesiras HaKsuva under the Chuppah. I mean, Chatimas HaKsuva, Mesiras HaKsuva under the Chuppah. That was Benig Yerushalayim at that point. I don't know if he did it all over the place. But at our wedding, that's what he did. Then I'm about to make a kinyan under the chuppah. Rav Lichtenstein moves his whole body, and a big one, towards my ear, as a chassan, and starts whispering into my ear. And I am not exaggerating the sheer klali of what kinyan I'm about to do. Is it kinyan chalifim? Is it kinyan ovet kochavim? And what are the tzadim? What are the svaras? For me, under the chuppah, it felt like a lifetime. Rebbe, I'm thinking to myself, please get this over with. When you watch the video, the suddenly silence of 15 minutes. The video guy doesn't know what to do with himself. In those days, they didn't really cut it. It's there. It's like going from image to image to image to image. On the other hand, one aspect. On the other hand, I'd like to give another personal story which emphasizes the other side of this. We finished here. I got caught up in the classroom for a few more minutes. I guess I was dealing with my notes. And then lunch was at 1 o'clock. Shir finished at about 1:10, 1:15. We finished. I finished my notes. I started running towards the base manager to put my sperm back so I didn't want to miss lunch. And I'm running down a narrow passageway. Pick up my head, and about to collide into me is Rav Aaron. And lo and behold, he hits my leg and goes flying. And I went flying in the other direction. This is going to be hard to believe, but I was actually in real good shape then. not the capability to jump off the floor and jump, turn around to try to help him get up. It must have taken me 4 or 5 seconds. There's still about 8 meters, 24 feet to the end of the hallway, a very narrow hallway. I get up, I turn around, and he's vanished into thin air. He is not there. Okay, yeah, tzaddik, chacham, but no powers of disappearing. That doesn't happen. After all, I was learning in Gush. And my understanding as a Talmud, and this took me level 200 time to understand, is that he had a havamina. That I didn't realize that it was him. And if I just would have thought it was him, I really would have been hurt, or sorry, or broken. What did I do to my Rebbe? He's flying in the middle of the air, almost got hit. And therefore, did whatever he can. I don't know how he did it. But got up quicker than I did, and just continued running. And I turned around, and he wasn't there. The sensitivity of an Adam Chavero, even in those type of situations, on a small aspect, but as a Talmud, it was like, wow, that is a Shifa. And back to the other side of things, right before I went to Yeshiva, it's a bar mitzvah, my cousin in Har Nof, Baruch Berzon. I was sitting next to a friend of my uncle, who learned in the Gush before. And he asked me, this is right before I went to the Gush, he asked, where are you going, where are you starting Elul? I said, I'm starting the Gush. So he said, oh, I went to the Gush. I was like, okay, give me something, tell me something. Let me come prepared. So he tells me, I want to tell you the following story. This is the only thing I remember. It was about 10 years later. He says he was walking up the steps of the Beis Medrash, and he sees Rev Lichtenstein, and he says, Rebbe, I have a stupid question to ask you. So Rev Lichtenstein says, okay, what's the question? So he says, Rebbe, what's the bracha on cornflakes? So Rev Lichtenstein says, that's not a stupid question. And he gave me a half an hour of a shiur. I left, I had no clue what bracha to make on cornflakes. But I could have written an article about what bracha to make on cornflakes without knowing the bottom line halacha. I ran down the steps, went back to the back steps, and met Rav Amital on the back steps. And I asked Rav Amital what bracha to make on cornflakes. Rav Amital said, Adama. That was it. That was the gush in his eyes. The two Rosh Yeshivas, two approaches, they came from two different sides of brilliance in Torah, and ended up in a specific point, which really gave us, the Talmidim, something very special. These two aspects, and this is the message for us, as Talmidim, or Talmidim of Talmidim, or Talmidot of Talmidim, and our whole world of Torah is definitely built on his Talmidim, and the expansion of them. Our message is to realize and understand that our goal in Avodas Hashem is to generate a discipline which takes all aspects of our entity, all details of our personality, our intellect, our passion, our emotion, our psyche, our personality, and brings it as a korban olah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a form in Avodas Hashem. Where would the buses be? Just
the infamous parking lot. So it took us about the exact amount of time to get over there. The buses aren't.